Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
My crowning achievement on this program.
Stiz, what was the date on that?
October 3rd, I believe.
Okay.
Something like that.
That was the height of your creativity.
That was the peak of the show.
You nailed the hell out of it.
Got that one.
I actually think there's another clip coming that was the peak of the show.
Really? Yeah. Well, that's true. I think I know what you're talking
about, too. From a peak to a valley is...
On this show, I mean, it can be very quick. Yeah. Go from one to the other in a matter of seconds.
It's extreme.
No question about it. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a minute. Wanted to reset on what we opened with, and that is, what is going on here with this offseason? And how this offseason is different from last year's offseason. Now, there's some big differences, obviously. Mike Vrabel's a much more experienced head coach. He's coming in here. He's getting the run of everything. He's getting the key to the mansion, mm-hmm. right? Like, this is going to be his show. He's running the show, we think.
Yeah.
It seems that way anyway. And last year, it was much more undefined. I do still think, though, despite that, there's a lot of people that he's going to be working with who now have kind of undefined roles, who we don't know how much or how little he's supposed to collaborate with, or if he's going to be expected to collaborate with those people the way that Gerard Mayo was and Elliot Wolf was and the people who were in charge of such things last year. Also, the offensive coordinator search has taken a while here.
Yeah.
And it's not even so much that I wanted them to rush the offensive coordinator search. It's that he said, yeah, I'm getting started right away. I got interviews coming up this weekend. I'm going to be talking about this. We're going to be doing this all. I got guys in mind, blah, 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 blah. And again, you don't want to rush anything. But last year, they couldn't get an offensive coordinator. They couldn't pay anybody enough money to come here and be the offensive coordinator. Now, it's more attractive this year because Drake May's here. And as Tommy Curran told us yesterday, Mike Vrabel probably wouldn't even come over to coach this team if Drake May wasn't the quarterback.
Right.
And I think that's also going to help in the offensive coordinator search. But it's not like people are banging down the door to come here and be the OC. And whether or not that was the case, even if it was, the process seems to be dragging a bit. Now, you think that's performative mostly, right?
A little bit. A little bit. Although I was intrigued with how, so I've kind of criticized Schefter for only having Josh McDaniels' name. Didn't offer anything else up. Giardi had another name quite ready, and it was my former office mate, Charles London.
Mm-hmm.
I was intrigued with how quickly and aggressively he said him and Dave Ragone. I thought that, didn't that lead you to believe those two guys have been interviewed?
At the very least, yeah.
And also for clarity purposes.
Or that they were on a list to be interviewed or something.
Yeah. But I took it as maybe they've already interviewed his aggressive response. Also, Charles London is black, just to FYI.
Okay.
Just for the Rooney Rule reasoning.
Sure.
And if
I wouldn't know him from Adam, so I have no idea.
I would.
Well, okay. I'm just saying. Like, yeah.
I love that. Do you not love that story, or does
that he was the guy at Gillette in terms of stadium?
Yeah. And now he comes back and he runs the offense for Drake May.
I think that is cool. Yeah.
Or is it easy fodder when it doesn't go well, like a month and a half in?
Oh, it'll be easy fodder if it doesn't go well.
Oh, you hired a guy that used to mow the lawn and now he's running the offense, and there's a reason we're 10th and we score 10 points a game, right? I mean, that's where I feel like Charles London go somewhere else.
Yeah.
If you have an opportunity.
Understand. I mean, and I think there's something to that, to be sure. It's not like he was the janitor or anything, but yeah, I mean,
that wasn't his primary job, with football.
Yeah.
And now he's going to, you have deemed him, if he were given the job, maybe the most important person in the building, not named Vrabel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's a...
named Drake May, obviously.
And not named
like
Drake
the most
May.
Important coach in the building,
right.
Other than Mike Vrabel.
It was like
sure.
last year, we
100%,
thought
yeah.
Alex Van Pelt might be the most important coach in the building or person in the building. And I think it's a cool story. Steve Buckley would have loved that story because he likes good stories.
Yeah.
If Charles London gets the job. But I liked that Giardi had... So now in my mind, Alex Van Pelt, Josh McDaniels, Charles London, and Dave Ragone have interviewed. Just in my mind. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's true or not, but just the way this has all sort of been said by Vrabel, said by Giardi.
Dave Ragone is who again?
He is the former, he was the quarterback's coach for the Rams, I believe.
Okay.
And so maybe he did an interview, right? Because he hasn't had a bye. He hasn't had time to interview, right? He's with the Rams.
Yeah, he's the QB coach for the Rams right now.
So I don't think he could have interviewed.
Okay. He was the OC of the Falcons recently.
Yeah.
Chicago Bears QB coach, passing game coordinator.
Didn't he play quarterback at Louisville?
He did. He played in NFL Europe. He played for the Berlin Thunder. So. Played for the Texans, Bengals, Rams, and Panthers as well. But he was mostly a practice quarterback.
Okay, I wanted to make sure that it was the right name I was thinking of. But
a third-round draft pick.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Didn't work out.
Did not.
No. But
I mean, listen.
Hey, Alex Van Pelt was a former, you know, journeyman-type quarterback.
He sure was.
My guy, Charles London, can interview because he was the Seahawks quarterback's coach, so...
Okay.
He's available.
All right.
So maybe I was wrong. Maybe I took it the wrong way on Ragone, but maybe it's Charles London, Josh McDaniels, and Alex Van Pelt have interviewed.
Okay.
Feels like it.
Out of those, you still like Josh the most?
Oh, I think Josh is by far the most qualified guy mm-hmm. for the job. It's a little bit, though, like your feelings with the head coaching job.
Yeah.
If you swing for the fences.
Vrabel is more qualified than Johnson, but I wanted Johnson right. because of what he does and what he represents.
Josh McDaniel's floor.
Mm-hmm.
He's done the job for two decades. He's not going to be a train wreck.
Yeah.
But you could argue Charles London, who has never been a coordinator, he's been a quarterback's coach, a running back's coach, the whole thing. Maybe he's the next big thing.
Mm.
He does have, while I'm on him and I like the story, let's just run down a little bit.
Okay.
So he, when he left the Patriots in 04, so he lived the early dynasty years, left the Patriots, went to Duke as a grad assistant, Duke as a running backs coach. Then he went to the Bears, I believe under Lovie Smith, to be their offensive quality control guy. Then he went to the Titans as an offensive assistant, back to college at Penn State, building a nice little resume here back and forth.
Was he at Penn State with
Billy
O'Brien?
I believe.
Because
then he went to Houston in 14, which I think was with Billy O'Brien.
Right over there, yeah.
Which I'm guessing 14 to 17, he crossed paths with Vrabel.
Because Paterno, all that happened in like 2012, I think,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes sense.
And then
that
he was with Vrabel in Houston, went back to the Bears as running backs coach, then went to the Falcons in 21-22, which I think is probably under Arthur Smith, right? Who he probably was with somewhere along the way there. And then went to the Titans in 23 as their pass game coordinator, and last year with the Seahawks as their quarterbacks coach.
Okay.
He's got a decent little... bounce around, build a resume, see different things, be with different people. But that's, you could strike out. He could stink.
Yeah.
I mean, nice man and all, but he could stink at it. Josh McDaniels is not going to stink. He's a capable, competent coordinator in the NFL. And I know people have real trouble differentiating head coach, coordinator.
Oh, he failed in Denver.
Right. He was a head coach. I'll never ask him to be the head coach again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking him to be the coordinator,
yep.
which he's shown he can do everywhere. Sorry, except for St. Louis, where everybody likes to say, hey, he was 30th with Sam Brown. Okay, he was. Whatever. Great.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I like about that job? I don't know why I'm all wound up. I think the lucky energy kicked in. Who hired him to be the coordinator in St. Louis?
McCarthy.
No, Spags.
Oh, really?
You know what Spags was?
No.
Spags was the defensive coordinator for the Giants.
Okay.
When they faced the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And the Patriots in the Super Bowl were coordinated by?
Josh McDaniels.
So he respected the guy that, by the way, he kind of slapped around in the Super Bowl for the worst upset, the worst loss in Patriots history. They are just like scheming back there. You notice that they're not even listening. Their heads are together.
What's going on?
Making fun of them. But the fact that Spags respected him, and Spags is now a head coaching candidate again, hottest defensive coach in football.
Yeah.
Spags respects Josh McDaniels. So there was a little value in that crappy year.
Well, maybe he didn't after that one year, but
Well, maybe he might have worked with him and said, wow, this guy's a clown.
This guy sucks, But it didn't end up working out there for him in St. Louis. As a head coach, he flamed out pretty famously, but as the offensive coordinator here in New England, most consistent success you could ask for, and got a good year out of Mac Jones. The Cam Newton year, though, that's one I think needs to be brought up, and I heard Jones talking about this the other day. It wasn't even so much that he had a tough time with Cam Newton. Didn't really do much developing a Jarrett Stidham, who was supposed to be the guy there, and when he didn't work out, they panicked and signed Cam Newton. So,
well,
do you put that on McDaniels?
I mean, I got to put some of it on McDaniels. He was the coach, right?
Right.
But first of all, remember, first couple games, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Wiggy wanted to give Cam Newton $100-something million.
Yes, he did.
He had that, who'd they beat? They beat somebody and then lost in Seattle.
I remember the Seattle game because he threw for like 400 yards.
Yeah, in a losing effort.
Yeah, I forget who they beat. I want to say it was Miami,
but
maybe.
But then didn't it all fall apart because, hey, Cam, remember Cam got COVID somewhere along the way, and he's like.
He was very skeptical of the vaccine too, right?
Yeah, there was some of that, but he said, you know, when before I got COVID, we were all going down the highway. Then I got off, and they didn't slow down, so I couldn't catch up after COVID. It was some, like, traveling road trip thing, which was part of it. But you know what the biggest part, I think, was? Cam Newton was done.
Yeah.
Toast.
He was toast.
Remember they couldn't complete a screen pass? Didn't he throw a pick on a screen pass to Harris, Damian Harris?
Yes, we have some breaking news here.
Ooh.
Stiz, if you would.
Breaking news.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
All right, well, people have been talking about this. There have been a lot of rumors and some reports about it. New England Patriots Executive Vice President of Football Business Robin Glazer, one of the franchise's highest-ranking executives over the last 18 seasons, has informed the team that she plans to resign. This according to Mike Reese, who just posted this a few moments ago. He writes, the departure of Glazer, who plans to work through mid-February, leaves a significant void in the organization at a time of transition under new coach Mike Vrabel. Glazer joined the Patriots in 2007 as a senior advisor to ownership and club council. She elevated to vice president in 2011, senior vice president in 2018, before another breakthrough in 2020 as senior vice president, business affairs, and chief administrative officer of football. Robin Glazer out. Leaving
Robin
the Patriots.
Glazer.
Resigning. Not getting moved to another part of the business. Yeah. Doesn't seem like she's done.
Yeah, no. That I told you about a month ago, somebody had brought up the idea she could resign. And then some other people I was texting with kind of used past tense when talking about her. I was like, oh, that's not good. When they talk. That's like, Christian used to do a great job on the afternoon show.
Right.
Oh, used to? He gone?
Which a lot of people are going to be saying that in the
Days, you're going to be very much missed.
Big
soon as I slide into that chair, you're going to be missed.
They're going to be pining
I'm going to be
me.
The best thing that ever happened to your reputation. There is no doubt about that.
I'm looking forward to that.
No, Robin Glazer really worked her way up from what I saw, both internally and then once I left.
Mm-hmm.
I think she branched into a world that, quite honestly, is tough to branch into.
Yeah.
Like, I know I'm not a MAGA heart and I'm not most liberal or sensitive to these issues, but she's a woman in football, trying to be a woman executive in football. That's not easy.
Mm.
And especially in this place, and especially in this place going through turmoil.
Right.
Right. Like, you could transition toward power in the dynasty. Like, if she had come up in 2003, 2004 and just slid into promotion, would anyone have cared when you're chugging along winning 12 games a year?
Definitely not.
But when you win four games,
it would be considered a feather in the cap
absolutely.
Of the organization is what it would
but
be.
But when you win four games, people are like, what the hell's, oh, you're going to hire a woman to do football work? Like, it's just a tough world to break into. And apparently it didn't work. And I'm not surprised that. I mean, just because she's a woman is one thing, but Mike Vrabel's the man.
Yeah.
Okay, well, when the man takes over, sometimes there's transitions in power, right?
Yeah, appears that way. For more on that, here's Mike Ball. How about Dan Ball?
Who's Mike Ball?
I don't know who Mike Ball is. I used to work with a guy named Mike Ball a long time ago, but spelled differently. Anyways, here's Dan Ball. He's going to tell you more about this and all the other news going on. And when we return, Pro Football Focus ranked every player in the league. We'll see where the Patriots ended up in these rankings, and we're going to take a look at where the four teams in Boston here rank and who's more likely to get better or get worse sooner. That's all coming up right after Dan Ball. Yes, Dan Ball.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Get you caught up on what's trending.
That wasn't a very fun highlight to play. Why'd you play that, Hurricane? What are you doing? I'll tell you why. Because the Patriots' offensive line we talked about all year was not very good. Not a very good offensive line.
No.
In fact, it was considered one of the worst in the NFL. How bad was it? Well, our good friends...
How bad was it?
Our good friends over at Pro Football Focus.
Yeah. You're good friends.
Well, when they fit your narrative, then they're your good friends, too.
Yep.
It's a transactional relationship with the people over at Pro Football Focus. At any rate, they did what they always do, and that's rank everybody. They ranked every player in the whole league by position and where they rank by position out of how many players there are at that position all over the league.
Sort of what you see on – I don't even know if they still have it on Sunday Night Football, but when they do the starting lineups, they always put, like, your rank out of guard.
You know, right, yeah,
44th guard they out of 132 PFF, guards. Yes. Yeah.
That's what they did, and this is the final season, and I guess it's regular season because they're not counting playoffs because the playoffs are still going on. The PFF grades for many, many Patriots are very low, as you could probably imagine.
No.
Some of them, worse than the league. The Patriots have a couple of players who are considered the worst at their position in the entire league. Now, you've looked at this list.
Yes.
So I don't want to play like, hey, can you guess who it is? Because you obviously know already.
I'm not good at faking.
The worst wide receiver in pro football, according to Pro Football Focus.
Rhymes with folklore.
Patriots rookie Jalen Polk. Congratulations. That is quite an
If you're
going
to be something, if you can't be the best, be the worst.
Quite an achievement. Jalen Polk, we saw this over the course of the year. There were a bunch of different metrics that showed that he was one of the worst, if not the worst, wideouts.
Plus,
in terms
we just
of
saw
all these different things. We could also see
you
it.
Just watch.
The eye test told you that, too. He is not the only worst of the worst. Offensive tackle DeMontre Jacobs ranked 81st out of 81 offensive tackles in the NFL. Bravo, DeMontre Jacobs. Again, what an achievement.
You think he looks at the list and he's like, if I could have done this, I could have been 80 for that one play.
And also, he was the second best rookie left guard in the league, so he was the worst. He was the worst. That was Layden Robinson, who also, by the way, 74th out of 77 on this list.
See, that's worse.
Yeah.
DeMontre Jacobs is a journeyman,
scrap
borderline
guy.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Like, I'm not really even supposed to be playing. Oh, yeah, you tell me I suck. That's fine. But if you're a third-round, fourth-round pick, you're supposed to start, you're a rookie, you don't want to be down near the bottom.
No, you do not.
Second-round pick at receiver.
On the offensive line in general, which is why we played this Drake May strip sack highlight to begin with, DeMontre Jacobs, worst tackle in the league, Layden Robinson, 74 out of 77 for guards in the league, Ben Brown, who started at center for you most of the season, 39th out of 40 for starting centers, Mike Onwenu was 33rd out of 77 guards, Vedarian Lowe, 69, out of 81 offensive tackles. So, Onwenu, 33rd, that's Mount Everest compared to the rest of these guys. The rest of these guys are bottom-of-the-barrel offensive linemen. I don't know. Polk and Booty, Kayshon Booty was 94th out of 133. Kendrick Bourne was 92nd out of 133. Pop Douglas, 55th, which, again, damning with faint praise there. These guys are bottom-tier at wide receiver and offensive line, and if you needed to see it spelled out for you with numbers and math
quantified
and all that, here it is. Now, on the other hand, you may not like these ratings because where do you think Drake May, out of the 44 starting quarterbacks, graded out?
17th.
How about 29th?
I don't like it.
2-9. Now, he didn't play as much as some of these other guys, so maybe that counted against him. I don't know how PFF does any of this. I have no idea what their calculations are or how they get to these conclusions. Yeah, I really couldn't tell
it's
you.
It's flawed.
Jacoby Brissett, 40th out of 44 quarterbacks.
Seems about right.
Seems right.
Antonio Gibson, 30th out of 60 running backs. Ramondre Stevenson was 35th.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Stop for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You want to say those again?
Antonio Gibson, 30th out of 60 running backs. Ramondre Stevenson, 35th. So Gibson was ranked ahead of Stevenson.
Yeah, I just wanted to put a little spotlight on that for
wanted
a second.
Wanted to get that one going. How about this?
Ramondre Stevenson is a top 10 running back.
There was one.
Right? Didn't Gerard Mayo say that all year?
Oh, he said a lot of things, but yes, he did say that. There is one Patriot who is in the top 10 at his position. Can you guess who it is?
I am going to say it is Christian Gonzalez.
One Patriot offensive player. I'm sorry. One offensive player that's in the top 10.
Hunter Henry.
You would think so, but you'd be wrong. Austin Hooper.
Hoop.
Was the sixth rated tight end in the league this year, according to PFF. Henry was 18th. And I think that's, they both were good, I thought. I thought they both had good seasons. But Austin Hooper, maybe because he didn't play as much, when he was out there, he was catching passes, he caught a couple touchdowns. He was the sixth best tight end in the league this year, according to PFF.
And you know what I bet hurts Henry? He had a bunch of bad penalties.
Yeah, he did.
I bet you that really hurt his grade a little bit there. Mm-hmm. It felt like for a while there, almost every week he had a penalty.
Yeah.
Either a hold or a false start or lined up improperly. I bet you that hurt him. Getting back to Onwenu, at least he's 33rd in guard.
Yes.
So he's in the mediocre middle, right?
Yeah,
there's 64
right in the
starting
middle.
Guards. There's 32 mm-hmm. teams, two per team, 64.
Yeah.
Like
he's a little better. That like the middle would be 38 or something, but he's a little higher than that, yeah. Slightly above.
Well, I meant average. Of starters. Like, so if you took the best 64 guards, at least he's a top half of that 64 starting guard. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to get excited about that because he should be. He makes a kind of a boatload of money.
He does.
He's paid, I bet you his paycheck's a little higher than 33rd last year.
So those are the guys making money. Hunter Henry makes money. Onwenu makes money. Ramondre Stevenson just got paid. There you go.
Yikes.
On defense, a lot of guys got re-signed. And
this is the worst one that there is.
Wait till you hear some of these rankings. Daniel Aquale, defensive line, 54th out of 125. Jeremiah Farms, 63rd. Devon Godchow, 89th.
What'd you do with Devon Godchow?
You paid him.
Yeah. After taking his crap.
Paid him some big money.
You
to,
took his
stick
crap
here, yeah.
During the summer, and then you paid him because he's like some stud defensive tackle run stuffer.
89th.
Yikes.
Out of 125. Your edge rushers, Keon White, 44th. Anthony Jennings, 51st. This is out of 118. Dietrich Wise, 78th.
Ooh, that's a fall off. I mean, if you put any credence in these crates.
If you do, which, I mean, I do. For the purposes of this exercise, I think that's about right. I didn't think Wise had a very good year. I thought Jennings was a little bit better, and White started off well. It's probably why he's not down at the bottom, because he didn't do anything after that either.
I thought he was pretty bad at times. I thought there would have been more, like, negative grades.
He had penalties, too, yeah.
Yeah, penalties, like, out
Horse
of collar position,
tackles,
the whole
late
thing.
Hits and stuff like that, yeah.
I thought, yeah, if the penalties were the reason Hunter Henry dropped, I would have thought White would have dropped further.
Your linebackers, Christian Ellis, 19th out of 83. He had a good year, Ellis.
But is he the 19th best linebacker in football?
I mean, he might be.
No, he's not.
There's not a lot of good linebackers anymore. There's really not. There's not. There's edge rushers, like actual linebackers. There's not that many.
Bobby
Wagner. Not that many good ones. There's a few. Wagner's like 50 years old.
I know, but he's still pretty good. And if you looked at him, he is jacked.
I mean, yeah.
He looks like my future radio partner.
Yeah. Jelani Tavai, noted fan favorite, Jelani Tavai, 69th, nice, out of 83. That's not good.
Yeah, he might want to know his place. We just found out his place.
Mm.
Bad linebacker in the NFL.
Pretty far down that list. To the defensive backs we go, Christian Gonzalez, 13th out of 117 cornerbacks.
So he would not be an all-pro based on,
not based on
PFF
this, no.
grades.
Marcus Jones, 33rd. Jonathan Jones, 79th.
Yeah,
he
had a bad year. Love him, mean it, but he had a bad year.
How about this for your safeties? Jabril Peppers, the fifth best safety in the NFL with an 83.1 grade out of 98 safeties.
Seems high.
Dale Pettis, 18th. Marte Mapu, 50th. Jalen Hawkins, 68th. Who am I missing here? Who have I not gotten to yet? Oh, that would be Kyle Duggar.
The $55 million safety.
Ranked 96th out of 98 safeties.
That is the worst on the team.
That's the worst on the team by far. Yeah.
$55 million you gave him. And I know immediately his apologists will say, well, he played through an injury. Okay, whatever. So
No one else had an injury?
At $55 million, I expect you to be like a top 30 safety at the very least. You're 6th?
96th out of 98.
So the ankle injury could have dropped you to 48, not to 96.
Yeah.
You're the worst safety in football, essentially.
Yeah.
I don't even know who the other two are.
In that conversation, right
players.
Up there. Yeah. I don't know who the other guys on the other teams are.
Dell Pettis.
All I got was the Patriots.
He's behind Dell Pettis.
Yeah. And Jalen Hawkins. And Marte Mapu. He's behind everybody on his own team.
He actually looked decent late in the year.
Mapu did. Yeah, he had a couple of tough games. But yeah, at the end, he was making some hits. I think he had a pick, right? He had an interception in the end zone one of those games.
In the end zone where he should have stayed but didn't, remember?
Right. That's right.
Then he had another one that hit him right between the thumbs and the fingers and dropped it.
That's why he's not a wide receiver. Let's go to Derek in Worcester. He has a thought on Jalen Polk. Hi, Derek.
Hi, how's it going, Arcan?
It's going, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Great.
I just want to say first, before my joke, I'm going to miss you, man. I do deliveries during the day. I wish you the best of success, though, on the night show.
Derek, thank you for that. And I'm not going very far, so even if you're not in the car during the day, you can go and listen to, you can listen to the show on the podcast. If you're driving around at night, I'll be on 6 o'clock. I'm not going very far.
All right, sounds good. And my joke was, when Jalen Polk got drafted, he said that he was going to make people in wheelchairs stand up, and he did exactly that by being so terrible. It was actually astounding.
Yes, that was Javon Baker who said that, not Jalen Polk, but that's okay.
And that joke was so terrible, it was actually astounding.
That wasn't even really a joke.
No.
It was kind of just...
And he got the player wrong.
Yeah. That's all right. Derek, it's all right, buddy.
You know what, Derek? Why don't you go to nights with Arkin?
Back in the lab, retool the jokes a little bit, get a fresh five for the next
workshop
for the next open mic, and we'll work on that. We'll work on your set. How about that?
What was the punchline?
I don't know.
Leave them alone.
There wasn't really a punchline.
These are your people.
That's all right. That's all right. Listen, what
all
am I going to be picky and choosy now? Who's going to listen to me at night?
You know who would have liked him is Keith. Because I don't know. He does something about Derek's.
Oh, yeah, right.
Keith's keys.
Derek football or whatever it is. During the keys.
That was a bad joke. I know bad jokes. I'm an expert in bad jokes.
You are.
Even like dad humor joke or just the ones that make you groan. That was the, okay.
I was waiting for the punchline and I still am. Like, I didn't really get it was just a comment.
Let's
about
work on a punchline for that joke, but we have to correct it to the right player. But let's work on that. Let's see if we can come up with something before 6 o'clock, all right? We don't have to do it right now. That ranking thing got me thinking about where all the four teams rank in their respective leagues in Boston right now. And if you look at it, there's two teams that are in their offseason, two teams that are currently playing. The Celtics right now are the third best team in the NBA. I think we all agree, right? The two best teams played last night, Oklahoma City, Cleveland, and then Boston's third, just in terms of record. And that's what I'm going by here. I'm not going by gut or, PFF rankings or anything like that. Where do they rank
Simpleton
in terms of where
record.
They are in the standings? I think that's fair enough to do. The Bruins right now in season have 49 points. That is tied for the 16th most points in the NHL, right in the middle. The Boston Red Sox last year were 81-81. That was the 18th best record in Major League Baseball. And the New England Patriots, picking fourth in the draft, were the 29th best team in the NFL. Who's trending in what direction right now? And who do you think, out of all of these teams and where they are and where they're going, who's more likely to have a dramatic drop or rise, do you think?
So the Patriots are more likely to have a dramatic rise.
They're far enough down that progress would be considered dramatic. Yes.
You know how I tend to suck the fun out of things by overanalyzing them and being, sort of microscopic into words and stuff. But
absolutely.
You said trending in the right way.
Yeah.
You know how people will tell you, like, oh, this is the fastest growing sport in America because, one person played it one day and two the next day, so it doubled. Even though two people are only playing it. No one really cares.
Curling.
It's the Patriots are trending by the hire of Mike Vrabel and just the sheer opportunity of the number four pick and the money. They're the team that's trending in the right direction the most. First of all, we have no idea.
They have the most potential to trend in the right direction because they have the most opportunity, but they're not.
No, because they have a coach.
Okay.
They went coach. Like, that's a big jump.
That's a jump. Yep.
You know what I mean? And I'm not saying they're ready to compete for a title. It's like the percentage gain was bigger.
Yeah.
They're still light years away from being a Super Bowl contender. Whereas, first of all, you could argue that the Celtics are flat out trending in the wrong direction.
You could say that.
The
yeah.
Bruins are treading water. They had that 7-game streak. Now a 2-game.
The Bruins have taken a huge step down.
For the season.
A 2-step back from last year to this year.
Last year. But I'm saying sort of like in the right here and now.
In this season,
I'm not sure exactly what they're doing.
They've been right around here all year. So
And the Red Sox, I don't even know. Screw them. Forget them. I'm supposed to be excited about
the Red Sox are a
Crochet.
Lot closer to being a playoff team than the Patriots are. You could say that.
Yeah, but they were really close to being a playoff team for the last 3 years, they told us.
Mm.
Weren't they?
Yeah, they told us that. But
every August.
They actually are, I think, now.
Yeah, we'll see. Mm-hmm. I'm still not sold on that. Are you sold that they're a...
I'm not sold that they're a playoff team. I think they're closer to that than the Patriots are, for sure, yeah.
Oh, absolutely closer than the Patriots, but it hasn't changed. I think they're very similar to what they've been.
Mm.
They're going...
Crochet's an ace. They have a legitimate ace now.
They have an ace.
That counts for a lot.
And they gave away a guy who hit 30 home runs.
True.
and haven't replaced that. Like, I think you move things around, but I think the net total might not be all that much more positive or dissimilar. My guess is they're going to be like two and a half games out of the wild card, and mm-hmm. we're going to be talking about it in late July, early August. Oh, if this happens, and we'll see. And then I hold their history against them. Sorry, Mr. Cora, I love you, but your teams don't tend to exactly peak in August and September every year. So, no, the closest to the playoffs is the Celtics because they're a playoff team. They're locked in as a playoff team.
Yeah.
But right now, they're not playing very well. So optimistic Andy will say the team trending in the most positive direction is the Patriots.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
Yeah. They have the lowest ceiling, I'd say.
Oh, but yeah.
They're the ones that appear to be on their way up. Yeah.
When you suck, you don't have to go up that far to show significant improvement.
It's true.
Right?
Yeah, exactly right. I believe that Stiz and Dan have come up with a punchline for Derek and Worcester's joke. Go ahead, guys.
Javon Baker said he's so good he'd make people in wheelchairs stand up, and they did. And they walked right out of the friggin' stadium.
Oh, it's not bad.
But
it's way better than Derek's.
That was better than Derek's.
And wasn't offensive. I was worried that the punchline might be offensive to somebody.
It was kind of an offensive thing that Baker said.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I was surprised he didn't
Baker's
get any
Baker's saying
flack.
That, I, you know, yeah. like...
I was surprised.
And whatever. Not so much that we're going to be like, oh.
Oh,
like,
I didn't
you know,
want it.
We're not. But, like, it was just dumb.
Yeah.
Now it's okay.
And Derek, feel free. That's all you, my man.
Oh, yeah. No. Wait, what?
The
he can
joke.
Use that joke.
Joke.
Yeah. Oh, in the future. Yeah. Should he call back in and, like, do it himself and pretend that was the original?
No, like a do-over.
He should save it for the Christian Arcand show a new audience can
next
hear it.
Next Tuesday at 6 o'clock right here on WEEI.
And
Boston
they'll laugh.
Original.
And they'll think it was his original.
Oh, the first time I'm hearing this joke.
Wow, and Christian show's great. It's got comedians. It's got sports talk. It's got it all.
It's got everything.
It's got Giardi. It's got Curran if they answer the phone.
It's got Scal. It's got Schefter. Me prank calling him in the middle of the night. Yeah, it's going to be great. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. The Boston Celtics are back in action tonight, taking on the shorthanded Orlando Magic. They're coming off maybe the worst loss of the year, worst loss in a few years, by getting thumped by the lowly Toronto Raptors. We have some inside info as to why that may have happened, and can this team get their head out of their asses? We'll get to that next. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arkin. Andy
Who
Hart.
This?
I don't know.
Doesn't say.
Sounds like Miami Sound Machine, but that would be weird for Orlando Magic. Who's Miami Sound Machine?
Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine.
Yeah, that's what I thought of. The beginning part, not this guy. I don't know who this guy is. I think that sounds like her on the chorus. Gloria Estefan.
You thought that sounded like Gloria Estefan?
Do I not know what Gloria Estefan sounds like?
I don't know.
I'd have to guess that that's not
Gloria. It's gonna get ya. Isn't that her?
Yes. Yeah, that is Gloria Estefan of the Miami Sound Machine. The song, hold on, I'm reading about it right now.
That Brian was so excited to have on air.
Yes. This is a song that they play after they win. It is, I don't know who sings it. I'm trying to read through this thing. There's a very long article on ESPN about it. It's way too long. I'm not going to read it on the air right now. But anyway, that was...
What is that, TLDR?
That was posted today, too. The 36-year journey of the Orlando Magic victory song.
That thing's been around 36 years, so it
evidently
could be.
Yes.
Gloria Estefan. She was big 30 years ago.
She certainly was. I don't know. This thing is too long. I don't see who wrote it. I don't know where. It seems like there's a story behind the song.
A long story.
Very long story behind the song. They're playing the Celtics tonight. So maybe you'll hear it if the Celtics continue to fall off the way they have been lately. And we have a little bit, or actually you won't hear it because the game's in Boston tonight. It's not in Orlando, so never mind. You're not hearing that song tonight no matter what. But you did hear the Toronto Raptors slap the Celtics around the other night and left us all pretty angry about it the next day, as the Celtics now are 7-7 over their last 14 games. This after starting the year 21-5, I think, is how they started. It was a very, very good start, and since then they've tailed off a little bit, and now here we are taking on the shorthanded Orlando Magic in, I just say shorthanded because Wagner's not playing, but Banchero's back, and they lost to the Magic recently without either one of those two guys, so... This could end up being part of a tough stretch here for the Celtics. And we saw the video. We don't have to play it again, but we did see the video of Jason Tatum transfixed by a couple of baddies there at the Toronto game. And evidently, there's pictures of Tatum and Brown. Who was this guy that they were with, by the way, Stiz? Who's this guy they're hanging out with?
He's this quote-unquote rapper. Everyone's a rapper these days.
Uh-huh.
But a rapper from Toronto named Top 5 who just beat a
the one
rapper case.
Oh,
Yeah, he just beat a
murder
case.
I was about to make jokes about him, but now I'm not going to.
But don't. And
his name's top five?
Yeah, it's a stupid name. And he clicked up with, like, Drake, and, like, Drake is, like, using him to, like, kind of send at people to talk smack and, like, threat. He's just, like, a bad guy. Yeah, yeah, kind of like
that. Did Drake hire him to sue Kendrick Lamar? Is that part of the lawsuit?
Like, just to sort of boil this down, you think this is a bad look for Celtics players to be hanging out?
Hundo P.
He is trouble.
Hundo P.
You don't want to be around this guy.
I don't like it. I don't like the optics.
Okay.
And especially when you lose, too.
When you go out and lose afterwards, it looks even worse.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Top five. That sounds like Dylon, right?
Yeah.
Who are the top five rappers?
Dylon.
You know what that's from? Chappelle's Show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember that, but yeah.
Dylon. The greatest rapper, the top five greatest rappers. This guy's top five. So maybe it is Dylon. Is this guy Dylon?
No, definitely.
Is Dylon still around? Is he still rapping?
I don't think he's still rapping, but definitely still. All those Making the Band guys are.
Oh, anyway.
Dave Chappelle hosting Saturday Night Live this weekend, by the way.
Dave Chappelle, Saturday Night Live.
I saw that. Did you see what he was wearing in those promos?
Yeah, like the cutoff, like the Belichick style hoodie. But
Belichick
a...
style hoodie, but he's got his arms. He looks like who was that wrestler that used to hang out with the Million Dollar Man?
Virgil?
Yeah, Virgil. He looks like Virgil.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's got the sleeves off. He looks just like Virgil.
Well,
or like how Virgil used to dress anyway.
He did one of the Netflix specials in like a union suit, a one piece,
right? That
thing.
Said like Chappelle on it. Yeah. But this is, you have to see it to believe it, but yeah.
Weren't you at the last Dave Chappelle Saturday Night Live?
I was.
The story of how Arcan got to see Dave Chappelle at SNL is actually kind of crazy.
I didn't even know I told you this story, but yeah, Dave Chappelle was hosting SNL. So my wife, years and years ago.
My wife.
She lived in New York, and she got on the wait list to go to SNL. And this was like years before I even ever met her. And eventually, like 3 years ago, because it was while she was pregnant, they wrote her back and they said, hey, you've been picked, and this is the date that we're going to do it, but it was like right around her due date. And I was like, I don't want to have you deliver the baby in the Amtrak or something. Like, let's see if we can do something else. And so she wrote to SNL and she's like, listen, I really want to go. I've been on the list for a long time. And I forget who was supposed to be hosting that day, but she's like, I can't go that day. I'm pregnant. It's my due date. Right around my due date. And they said, okay, here's another date. Can you make it to this one? And she said, yeah, sure. And then they announced who the host was. It was Dave Chappelle. And so we went down there, and he was hilarious. It was the one where they had, like, Black Star performed, like, Mos Def and Talib were the performers, and Chappelle's monologue was really good. And they had a really funny sketch about, like, Black Heaven, which that was the one I remember the best. It was cool. It was cool going to SNL. And also, do you want to know? You want a little SNL secret?
Yes.
Okay. You know how in the very beginning of the show, you watch SNL still?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay, so the news ends, right? The news on NBC 10 ends. And then they go, da-na-na, and then you hear everybody laugh, right? You hear a bunch of people, just the studio audience laugh. You want to know why they laugh?
They cue you to do it, command you to do it.
They do not. What they do is, it's a live show, right?
So the main
cameraman does this big countdown. And he goes, all right, we're going to be live in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. And then when he gets to 5, he goes, 5! And everybody laughs. And then they go live. And that's what it is. That's what everybody's laughing at.
Oh.
They're laughing at the funny countdown guy. So there's a little inside SNL knowledge for
something
you.
Something you'd only know.
If you ever wondered. Because I always wonder. I was like, what are all these people laughing at? What is this little weird laugh track thing? Because I thought it was a laugh track.
Yeah.
Like a leftover laugh track. It was legit. Yeah. It's real people laughing. So there you go. That's what that's all about. And I bet you feel like a lot. You learned a lot today.
Oh, my life just changed. First, these few minutes.
I would think so.
Once again, I'm beholden to you.
Are the Boston Celtics going to get their head out of their ass tonight, Andy Hart?
Yes. Was that the more you know? Wasn't that part of the thing the other day? I would have won.
We almost did. We
wouldn't even have a stupid quiz today if you'd played that. You know, somebody on Twitter or Instagram DM'd me the actual Dolby sound and was like, this is the Dolby sound.
What is it? I was trying to think of what it is.
Yeah, you can look it up. I mean, it's in the realm of what I kept guessing, uh-huh. But it wasn't right. Yes, I predict that the Celtics are going to roll tonight because I still think they're good.
Yeah.
As much as I am worried about where their motivation, their head, their whatever is at, they're still good, and they probably slept off whatever may have been
hanging out with top five. Yeah.
Yes. They've gotten some rest. They've gotten their legs back underneath them, their wind back. JB will come out. I'm going to say this is a When was the last time we had a JBJT 30-30? I'm going to say a 30-30 game tonight.
Ooh, I'd say it's been a while, I think, since we've had one of those.
I was going to say a real long time.
Mm.
Have they had one this year?
They must have.
Are you sure?
They must have, yeah. I think they have.
Terp?
I don't know if they...
Terp,
yeah, Terp would be the guy to know this. He'd probably know right off the top of his head. But I think they have. And listen, even if it's not a 30-30 night for those two, I'll just take a well-executed game where they take good shots and aren't forcing up threes and are making their shots and not having and playing good defense. Really, that's what this entire last month to me has been about, the defensive effort. That's why they're losing. You know, missing threes and all that's an easy thing to sort of look at, but the effort on defense just has not been there. And that was never more apparent than in the Toronto game. Now, maybe they were all tired from all the baddies in the top five and everything else, but either way, it's not just that one game. They were lazy on defense against Sacramento. They were lazy on defense, I thought, against the Pelicans, who are a bottom-of-the-barrel team. They lost to the Pacers recently. Like, they're not playing good defense, and they're a good defensive team with good defensive players, and I think it's really just been about the effort. So that's the one thing I'd like to see. Even if it's not a super big-time blowout, can you hold Orlando and keep them in check and keep Banchero in check and Jalen Suggs if he plays? I'm not sure if he's playing or not, but keep those guys just contain them a little bit instead of letting them just blow right by you and getting beat in transition and giving up easy shots and easy layups and not contesting, because that's what we've been seeing here lately. And that's the reason why this team has been kind of crap.
And
lately.
That's effort.
Yeah.
That is energy, effort, attitude, all those little things that they are lacking right now. They still have the talent. That's where I agree with Scal. And I think this is a night where, especially since the Magic have already beat them, and they play Atlanta, mm-hmm. who's already beat them. They're starting to go through teams that they should beat that have already beaten them. And if you start losing season series to teams like that, now you got problems. Or, just very simply, you could be able to say they're 7-8 in their last 15 games. They're going to be a sub-500 team. And 15 games is a lot of games. What's that, like 20% of an NBA season, basically?
Yeah, big time.
So, no, I expect... The one thing I'll... be interested in is, if I'm right, post game what the chatter is like, what their did Missoula say something, you know, we were embarrassed by the other day, this happened, whatever, how we are given an insight into why maybe they bounced back will be interesting to me.
Yeah. Okay. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. The Celtics and the Magic tip off tonight at 7 o'clock from TD Garden. When we come back, Mike Vrabel had a lot of nice things to say about A.J. Brown. We'll go over what we want the offseason to look like. Who do you think they're going to get? Who do you want? And does anyone even want to play here? We'll get to that next.